Okay, today's reading is found on page 1180 of the Red Bibles. It's for Philippians 3, verses 7 to 12. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me.
Please keep your Bibles open at that page, 1180 in the Red Bibles, or if you've got your own Bibles, Philippians chapter 3. Let's just pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and pray you'd speak to us all, young and old, through your word this morning. There may be words we've heard many times before, but may they strike fresh to us. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, good to see you. Let me add my welcome to Ian's welcome this morning. I want. How many times do we hear words like that? I want. If you're parents, you hear that all the time from your children, perhaps. I want. How would people finish that? Anyone? Oh, how would you finish that? What would you want?
I want a computer.
You want a new computer. Okay, you start off with a... up there. Okay, what do you want?
I want a horse.
You want a horse. Okay, we're going up in time. Okay, who wants an elephant? Okay, we're going up. Oh, what have we got over here? What I want. I want...
A Pokemon.
I didn't know they were still going. I thought those we had those years ago, Pokemons. Anything else? I want. What about the adults? What do they want? Oh, we've got an adult here. What do you want?
I want it now.
You want it and you want it now. Yes. Oh, someone here wanted that. What do you want?
Ferrari.
Oh, dear. I think people are being a bit too honest this morning about what they want. Okay, the horse has now gone on to something a bit more. You want Jesus, okay, always trust the Perry children to say something good and spiritual. Yes. Well, I'm going to come up here, and we're going to have on the screen now some well-known figures. And let's see, you shout out, what do you think they might want? Okay, what do you think those men want? Those men want to be Prime Minister, yes, so we know what they want. What about this next person? The boys know who... That's not a Man United supporter, obviously. What do you think what that man wants? He wants Man U to win things, doesn't he? Okay, what about the next two men? What sort of things? They want to win the motor racing, don't they? Okay, next people. What do those two ladies want? They want to win Wimbledon, don't they? The Venus sisters. Sorry, not the Williams sisters, Venus and Serena, whatever they are. Yes, get them right, okay. Well, sometimes we want things. Who wants the latest high-tech gizmo? Yes, the latest high-tech gizmo. We all want the latest high-tech, the computer or the iPad or something. We want things that we can tweet with, blog with, email, plays MP3s, MP4s, and organises our lives for us and, I don't know, helps us sleep nice at peace at night. I don't know. Sometimes we want to know things. Sometimes we want to know facts. Perhaps we're ill or someone we know is ill and we want to know the diagnosis. Okay, anyone like that? I know, I want to know a diagnosis for something that's wrong with me. Sometimes we want to know facts just because we're curious about things. Is there life on other planets? Is there intelligent life on any planet? I don't know, an alien coming here might find it difficult to believe there's intelligent life here. I don't know. Sometimes we need to know things for our work, or sometimes we need to know things for exams. Sometimes we want to know people, though. Any people we want to know, any famous people we want to know. How about let's have some famous people coming up, one after the other. Who's this chap? The new doctor. What do people think of the new doctor? Is he good? Is he any good? Perhaps people are a bit. Some people think he is. People have divided opinion. Who wants to know him? What's his name? Matt Smith. Okay, what about this chap? Next chap. What's his real name? Daniel Radcliffe. Daniel Radcliffe is, okay. So what about, anyone want to know him? Or do you want to know the actor or do you want to know the character he plays? Okay. What about the next person? Her. Who knows her? I mean, her name's on there. Yes, Miley Cyrus. Yes, you know her. What about the next one? Zac Efron. People of my generation with children my age don't know these people. I did some market research on people, what young children might know. Zac Efron, there. Okay, next one. Beyoncé. Okay, anyone want to know Beyoncé? I think there are too many adult men wanting to know Beyoncé there with that one. Okay, we better move on to the next thing. Sometimes you want to know how to do things, or you want to do things. You want to have an experience. Sometimes you might like to do something exciting, like have a bungee jump. Anyone here been bungee jumping? No, it makes me ill just looking at thinking about something like that. No, I am not that. Most dangerous thing I do is crossing the road, okay? Okay, so but not bungee jumping. You want to do something like that. You want to know something. You want to have an experience. You want to go paragliding. You want to go abseiling. You want to do something like that. Maybe, though, all of us would like something simpler. We'd all want something simpler. We want the power to face up to whatever life throws at us. We want to know what it is to keep steady when all around us is changing. Maybe we just like to have some certainty in this world. We want to know what the future holds, and we'd like to know that that future for us is bright. This morning, we read some words from Philippians. A man wrote this when he was under house arrest, a man named Paul. It's not a very good picture because photographs weren't very good back in 60 AD. Okay, but Paul, he was chained to a Roman soldier, he was under house arrest, and he wrote the words we had this morning, and he faced an uncertain future. It could be release, or it could be the death sentence, depending on the mood the emperor was in. Humanly, he did not know which way things were going to turn out. But in verse 10, he says he wants to know three things. Verse 10 of the reading, he wants to know three things, or rather, he wants to know a person and two things associated with the person. Paul says this in verse 10 of Philippians 3. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. Shall we say that together? I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Well, I don't know about you, but that comes as a challenge to me when I read that. Do I really want to do that? It comes as a challenge to each of us. Do I want to know Christ? Do we want to know it if it means sharing in the fellowship of his sufferings? We can't separate off the rest of the verse from the beginning. I want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection and the sharing in his sufferings. To know Christ means knowing both the power that raised Jesus from the dead and that power being at work in us, changing us, as well as knowing what it is to suffer, to be treated badly because we belong to Jesus Christ. Well, a little later, not at the moment, the children are going to go to the back and help us to see something about suffering. They're going to produce some visual aids for us. But the children will stay with us for a minute. Our first point is the overall theme of this morning's message, knowing Christ. We had earlier in the reading, in verses 8 and 9, these words. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Paul was consumed by his desire to know Christ. Have you noticed when someone loves something or very interested in something, how you can't stop them talking about it? They bore you to death with what they're talking about because they love it so much. It naturally overflows. Now, of course, that means, what does that mean for us British men? What do us British men like to talk about? We must love our job, the weather, and if we commute by train, the trains, because that's what men talk about when they get together. You know, how's the job going? It's weather we're having today, and all that sort of thing. But we've seen in this letter what Paul loves, what Paul talks about all the time. He says Christ, or Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, or the Lord, about 50 times in this letter. You can't stop him speaking of Christ because he wants to know Christ, he wants to live like Christ, he wants to have the power of Christ, he even wants to face the same end as Jesus Christ dying for the truth. Now you may say, that's a bit extreme. That's Paul. A bit extreme. A bit over the top, not very British. What do British people like? Consensus, compromise, political correctness. No, Paul says, I want to know Christ. The stakes are too high. Now, I don't know about anyone bet on the Grand National. I hope you didn't, but perhaps someone here did bet. But you all know about odds and... No, the Perry children do everything, don't they? Whenever you ask a question, their hands go up and you get very nice answers. Yes, I'm sure their parents don't want to know that they bet on the Grand National yesterday. But we all know something about odds. If the stakes are high, what are the stakes so high? And is something likely or not? Well, we're going to have something that's perhaps not very likely. What do you think is the likelihood of getting trampled to death by a herd of elephants going through Wokingham? Okay, there's shoe 10, signpost there. What do you think is the likelihood of getting trampled to death by a herd of elephants in Wokingham? Anyone think it's very high? No, I don't reckon it's very high doing that. We wouldn't insure ourselves against that. The stakes might be high. You might get sort of, you know, it's death if you get trampled to death by an elephant, but I don't think it's going to happen in Wokingham. Might be a bit different if you went somewhere else. Now, what about getting burgled? What's the probability of getting burgled? It's fairly low. I like that man. He's got his eyes sort of going back and forth all the time. It's fairly low, but it does happen. We know people who've perhaps... Anyone here been burgled? Yes, okay. You're all now worried whether you shut your windows when you came out to church this morning. Okay, fairly low, but it's, you know, the stakes are perhaps not so high. But we still insure ourselves against burgled. But what about the probability of dying? What's the probability of dying? I reckon it's about 100%. Okay, about 100%. The stakes are pretty high. And most of us who are not of pensionable age have policies to pay out if we happen to die before we reach old age. We've insured ourselves against what happens if we die for our families. But how many people have insured themselves against what happens after we die? There's no higher stake than our eternal destiny. And Paul had put his eternal destiny, he'd staked it all on Jesus Christ. He'd given up everything else. He said, I consider everything else rubbish. He was so convinced by Jesus Christ and his claims, he counted everything as rubbish compared to knowing Christ. He wanted to know Christ and to be found in Christ, because to be found in Christ means to have eternal life. Now, is anyone here facing exams this summer? I know they're trying to phase them out in schools. There's some people facing exams in summer. So what do we do if we have exams? Panic. No. What should we do if we have exams? You know, it's been 32 years since I sat an exam. I've been marking them for an awful lot of long number of years, but it's 32 years. I don't think I could face sitting down and being in an exam room doing exams. Unless we've had incredibly incompetent teachers, and I hope none of you have had those, the probability that what we know in the exam is what we've been taught is about 100%. Okay? So what do? We revise what we've done so far. We stake our future on what we've been taught. And it's a bit like that in the Christian life. We stake our future on what we've been taught about Jesus Christ. The greatest question for mankind is what happens after we die? Does life continue? And if so, in what state? Paul says the answer is Christ. The answer is Jesus Christ. To know Christ is the answer, and Paul gets in his revision ahead of the final exam. I want to know Christ. Not facts and figures about him. He doesn't say, I want to know about Christ. I want to know him. I want to have a personal relationship with the one who is eternal life. He wanted a relationship with the Son of God. Are we convinced of that? Have we staked everything, our whole lives, on Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ staked his life on bringing us salvation. Are we prepared to stake our whole lives on Jesus Christ? As I said, it's a challenge, this verse. We want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Are we prepared to put Jesus Christ at the top of our agenda? Are we prepared for the consequences of putting everything in our lives in second place to Jesus Christ? I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now, we thought about two men who are in the news, these two men. We've already said what they want. They want to be Prime Minister. But let's face it, what real power does the Prime Minister have? When was the last time a Prime Minister said to someone who'd been in the grave 4 days, come out, and the man came out? Can he raise the dead? No, we're all agreed on that. Whatever our political views, whoever we're going to vote for, none of them can raise the dead. Can they determine whether we enter into eternal life or not? No. So, for a few years, they may make our lives a misery or a joy, depending on whether we do well or badly under their government. But it's a very limited power. And if one of those men were Prime Minister and they got it wrong, what would their party do? They started going down in the polls. They'd give them the chop, wouldn't they? Or Parliament might vote no confidence if there's a hung Parliament or something like that. They've got a limited power. Paul has already told us in this letter that Jesus Christ has been raised to the place of ultimate authority in this universe. There's no one who can depose Jesus Christ, no one to vote Jesus Christ out of office. Paul wants to know this person and the power of his resurrection. Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus. Let me read some words that come in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul's praying, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints," and get this, "and his incomparably great power for us who believe." That power in us who believe is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. Paul wanted the believers at Ephesus and all believers to know God's incomparably great power, the power that can raise someone from the dead at work in you and in me. Well, why do we need resurrection power? Paul doesn't actually explicitly say it here, but if we read the rest of his letters, we can get some suggestions. So I'm going to give some suggestions why we might need resurrection power. We've all grown up in sin, with a sinful nature that loves to ignore God and go our own way. Who remembers what sin means for the Holiday Bible Club people? S-I-N. Anyone remember what the acronym that the letters stand for? Any of the children remember? Yeah. So we've got someone over there? Shove off God, I'm in charge, knows your rules. That's what we all love to do. So why do we need resurrection power? Because we all want to go our own way. We need power to break free from habits of thinking and behaviour that can control us and stop us being effective servants of God, because we want to say, shove off God, I'm in charge. Number two, we're all subject to temptations in this world. There are temptations to do things we shouldn't. There are temptations to stop us doing things that please God. Temptations that distract us from our path. Temptations that lead us into sin. Temptations on the internet, temptations on the television, temptations at work, at school, at leisure. Wherever we go, there are temptations, because there's a devil who wants to stop us following God and trip us up. We all need resurrection power to stand up to temptation. But thirdly, we need resurrection power to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, we need resurrection power to learn to love one another, to learn to love people in the world who don't love God. We need power to live like Jesus. That's the third reason I suggest we need resurrection power. But let me give a fourth reason. We need resurrection power to hold on to the good news of Jesus Christ. We need resurrection power to keep believing the truth of God, even when everyone else in the world says, "Oh, you don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that, do you?" When we're subject to a barrage of propaganda aimed at shaking our confidence, we need resurrection power to tell others that we belong to Christ, that we believe in Jesus, that we accept God's version of history and not the devil's lie. And we stake everything on Jesus. No self-confidence can do that. We need resurrection power. I said those are four suggestions. Perhaps you've got other suggestions why we might need resurrection power. But those are four that came to me that you can find through the New Testament. But did you notice that Paul was praying for the Ephesians to have that resurrection power at work in them? He was praying for that. How often do I pray that there be resurrection power at work in all of you? How often do you pray there be resurrection power at work in me? So perhaps that's something we can take away this week and pray that we'd have resurrection power at work in us. Do we pray that those who preach here have Christ's resurrection power, so that we wouldn't just be taught the word of God, we'd also be changed by the word of God. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Can we make that our motto? But it's not just power, it's suffering. And the children have got something they can do at the back that Ruth's going to go and help them to help us think about how Paul was suffering and what he can do. So any younger children, up to, I don't know, about the age of 8 or something, you might want to go and help make some chains. We're going to have a prison and some chains and some faces of people who might not like us to make. So any young children who want to go to the back and help us with some visual aids for the final part, if you want to go and do that. So they're coming to the back. Yes, they're going to the back. The young children can go to the back and help do something there. There might be some Mars bars for those who help very well. I think I've got some Mars bars for that. I don't think there'll be any over for the adults. But as they do that, let's think about this final point. Paul was facing death for his preaching. Now, I've not done that yet. Perhaps I've bored some people to death with my preaching, but I don't think I've actually faced death by preaching. Paul was in chains. He knew what it was like to be imprisoned. The Christian life is cross-shaped. Paradoxically, power and suffering go hand in hand for the Christian. Even the Son of God had to go through the cross to enter into the glory that was naturally his. Now, who here in their right minds really likes suffering? How many people really their heart leaps for joy when they hear, well, the Christian life is full of suffering? Well, I think that's something wrong with us, because that is something we should really rejoice in, that God has called us to suffer with his Son. We don't naturally want it, but if it is suffering for Christ, it's the noblest experience in the whole universe. Paul has already told the Philippians back in chapter 1 this: for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Suffering for Christ is a wonderful gift from God just as much as salvation. Power and suffering go hand in hand. You may have wanted exciting experiences. Actually, not many people wanted the bungee jumping. You might want exciting experiences in life, but no experience is as worthwhile as suffering for Christ. Perhaps the reason we don't have resurrection power in our lives is because we don't actually want to share in Christ's sufferings. Perhaps the reason we don't overcome temptations in our lives is because we're not prepared to face suffering for Jesus Christ. Perhaps the reason we don't have resurrection power in our sermons is because we're not prepared to face suffering for Christ. Being prepared to tell unpalatable truths. Are we prepared to tell people that they are perishing without Christ? Perhaps we've all slipped into a comfortable sort of Christian life. We come to church on a Sunday. It sort of pays our obligation. But that's all. It's not really part of our life Monday to Friday. Not part of our lives in our homes, with our friends, with our families. Do we really want to know Christ in every situation alongside knowing his power and his suffering? What if we were in a Muslim country? We would all stick out like sore thumbs if we were believers in a Christian, in a Muslim country. How would we get on in a repressive dictatorship like North Korea? Our brothers and sisters in those places know what it is to share in the sufferings of Christ. And they know also there the power of Christ's resurrection. So that's a challenge to us. Are we prepared not just to want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, but actually people to think we're strange, we're odd, perhaps in other countries to be like our brothers and sisters there where they really suffer abuse and hardship and sometimes even death for knowing Christ? But Paul finishes the reading we had with a looking forward to resurrection from the dead. He knew that believers who are still alive when Jesus Christ returns are translated into new resurrection bodies, never having to go through death. But Paul wanted to become as Christ-like as possible. He wanted to go through death and come out the other side to be raised with Christ. I want to rise from the dead having suffered for Christ, he says. He was pressing on, he says, to take hold of eternal life because he knew that Jesus Christ had taken hold of him. The reason he wanted to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings was that Christ had laid his hands on Paul's life. Now, many of us here know that. We're not what we were. Something has happened to us. Jesus Christ has taken hold of us and made us something different. The progress might be very slow. He's taken us as miserable sinners, and the process of turning us into saints is very, very slow. But we're not what we were. So as we finish this morning thinking about this passage, are we resolved to be like Paul and to press on to know our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? So I want us to say again this verse together. Verse 10. Perhaps we'll stand up and say it. Let's stand up and say it. And perhaps we might feel we can't actually say it honestly, and we might just want to mumble it or not say it at all. But this is what Paul wants for believers, the experience he had, to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. So let's say it, and let's mean it. I want to know Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Well, let's sit down again. Let's sit down again. And the children are going to come out in a minute, but before they do, let's think how we can put it into practice. What about praying for each other in the week that we would know the power of Christ's resurrection? What about praying for the services here that as God's word is preached, is spoken, we would know the power of Christ's resurrection? Let's think in our own lives. How can we make Christ everything? We're going to be singing a song in a minute. All I once held dear, built my life upon, it's all worthless compared with knowing Christ. Think, how can we put this into practice in our lives? And let's be bold and strong, as our first song reminded us. Not just to go, no, 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 not me, great though that may be, but be bold and strong in actually telling people that we belong to Jesus Christ. How are we getting on at the back? Have we got anything? Perhaps we'll sing a song and they'll finish by the time we finish the song. Okay, so let's sing that song. All I once held dear, built my life upon.